Hello, and welcome to How the World Begins Again. I'm Elizabeth Hilliard. I'm a professional singer. And in this series, I'm introducing you to women composers and sound artists working in Ireland. In this episode, A Different Beat, I'm with three artists, Una Monaghan, Aina Brennan, and Karen Power, each exploring different and diverse pathways in music. Like Una and Aina, I have something of a portfolio career myself, combining my work as a soloist of contemporary repertoire with my role as a conductor of community and workplace choirs. For me, the roles complement each other. And these three artists are creating their own unique journeys in music. So in this conversation, I explore with them how they find balance across the different strands of their work and direct and focus their composition.
My name is Una Monaghan. I'm a harp player, composer, performer. I improvise and I work with live electronics, computer music, as well as Irish traditional music.
And you kind of work across so many systems, and there's probably various people that advocate for you in various different networks. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about, do you feel yourself moving between different systems, or are you kind of very much on your own plan? How does it feel for you?
I can understand that kind of description of being across different systems, and I really like it. It's definitely something I enjoy and I'm conscious of when I'm working. And so I do feel like I work across different systems because I can see clear systems. You know, whenever I collaborate with writers or visual artists or filmmakers, poets, you know, it's very clear that in a way they come from a different world, but in another way, I really feel that it's all the one world. So I do work across different systems in a way, but for me, there's one really clearly defined system, and it's just whatever it is going to realize the concept or the thing that I'm interested in for a start. So I've come up with pieces before, and it's been very clear that there should be a written lyric, for example. So if I want a lyric, I'm going to see, well, who writes and who can I involve? Because you always get something extra then from another artist joining. So creatively, it just makes sense. But there's also a very real thing about the music industry as well, and about or the arts industry. You know, there are things that happen when you bring people together. And I learned this very early on, that if you're working on a piece that involves sound art plus traditional music plus literature, and you put that piece on, say, in an arts festival, you've immediately got an audience that are, some people will be interested in all three, but some people may only be interested in the poetry or the sound art or the traditional music, and they'll come. And then you've kind of tripled the number of people who might be interested in the work. And then you've also got the potential to bring the people who are interested in only one aspect of it into the other aspects. And I really love that mixing.
And what I find fascinating when I'm performing, I've got a good few friends that work in theatre. We used to have like an improvised music theatre group. It was, you know, very much physical actors and improvising musicians. Their descriptions of what I was doing on stage were just so different to what I was intentionally doing or what I was even thinking was even a possibility. So it kind of transformed for me how I was working. I wonder, is there anything like similar to that that has happened for you?
It transforms how you view what you're trying to do. And it also gives really valuable feedback as to how other people see what you're doing, which is, to me, really important. You know, I do care what the audience thinks or whether they've enjoyed themselves or what they've got from it. I'm not someone who's precious about making sure everyone who sees the work gets what I intended. I'm much more interested in finding out what they got from it. And in fact, most of my pieces will have the potential for people to take their own thing. And just thinking again about defined systems, you mentioned theatre there. It's been really useful for me to collaborate with people in theatre because I feel like they do have, in ways, maybe it's because I come from traditional music training more so than other genres of music, but they do have very defined methods of arriving at the point of the live performance. And there are people involved in that process that wouldn't necessarily have had the equivalent in traditional music. And I'm thinking of dramaturgs, of that process whereby you perform the piece for a selection of different people in your rehearsal period, and then they give feedback and you hone the piece. There's a sense that you hone it. There's a real tradition in Irish traditional music where it's immediate and you show up and you play together and you have a shared repertoire and things happen very suddenly. And there's not sometimes the same sense of honing something. And I find that so useful to bring from theatre. You know, they have actual people whose job it is to show up and say, that part, I see what you're trying to do, but it doesn't work. How about you think of it in this way? And that's been really useful for me in making new music that combines different strands, because I just simply do not have all of those skills. And I love the efficiency and involving other people's creativity in that process that then just makes everything better.
Something I came to terms with during the pandemic is how reactionary I used to be. I think a lot of my work was based off somebody either commissioning me or coming to me, or the starting point was always somebody else's. And then I was maybe delivering material, delivering like a service and reacting to that impulse. But during the pandemic, I realized, oh God, I hardly take any direction myself. You know, I hardly actually... These self-directed projects that I've had simmering in my brain, they just get put on the back burner, or they just never get given any love. So I think getting the studio was a very self-directed, motivated task. It was like, oh, I need somewhere. Nobody else is telling me that I need to work in this space. I need to work there, you know, and kind of listening to myself, because I hadn't really put enough intention into longer term goals. I would be far more fruitful or far more satisfied as a composer or just as a writer if I was pushing a bit more of that self-directed work forward.
That's Aina Brennan, a Dublin-based composer, arranger, violinist and graphic designer, who was recently named as a member of the ABL Aviation Opera Studio with Irish National Opera. Like Una, she works across a number of different genres in music. Pre-pandemic, she would find herself performing on stage almost weekly, whether it be as Dowry, a session violinist, or with her quartet, Dowry Strings. She was recently commissioned by the National Concert Hall in association with Sounding the Feminists, and I was curious to hear more about this.
I was actually in Brussels helping my mum move house, and I think this has got to have something to do with it, because at the end of last year, I was going through a lot with her because it was the family home. It was where I'd grown up. It was, you know, she's been there years and years and years, like 30 to 40 years. And suddenly we were leaving this place with all these memories. And it did feel like a bit of a turning of a new leaf, but it was quite difficult. And while I was there, I had literally the day after we moved out of the apartment, I had my interview for the award. And it kind of, I think it ground me a lot and maybe not overthink things, because there was a lot going on, and, you know, myself and my mother were physically quite tired and emotionally quite drained. And it meant that all of the silly insecurities or overthinking, just there was no even energy to deal with any of that. It was just think about the idea you want to do, cohesively explain it, and that's it. The commission that ended up being accepted was to do probably a final part of this Rupture series that I've been working on for a good few years. So I think that series has been such a great source of material to dip in and out of over the years, because it's quite flexible and it's quite existential. And I think the theme has never not been relevant, because we're constantly going through very like changing times. So I was thankful that I knew I had subject matter that I was very passionate about that I could draw on, and that there was a track record there. Secluded, deluded, secluded, a joke. There is no hope, there is no hope. Lie dead, spend the day in bed. The dew is resting on your head. Can you feel it in your head? Can you feel it?
So a lot of my practice is kind of looking at these, I suppose, these two worlds, the world of a human constructed musicality and all of the huge qualities that are found within that world that are, you know, that musicians have trained their whole lives to be the best at bringing out those elements. And then you have the natural world and all of the unique and magnificent qualities that lie within. So now what happens if we bring those two worlds together into a space and kind of ask them to communicate, ask them to listen, and ask them to sort of negotiate the space? So this is a lot of what my work is about. The aim is that what comes out of it is almost a third new listening space that is unique to the two collaborating partners. So is it music? Is it sound? Who knows?
That's Karen Power, a composer and improviser based near Mallow in County Cork. In 1999, she began her journey into field recordings, where she incorporates recordings she has made of a wide range of places across the globe within her musical works.
It's kind of about creating something, an art practice that is living and is alive, and inviting an audience to be part of that live experience and to actually leave room for them. So in a lot of these works, there are musical elements, there are natural elements, and there's room for the listener to go and find their way and basically decide for themselves what is interesting about it or not.
Is it about bringing these spaces to other people, or is it about sharing the artwork?
I think it very much depends on the piece and what the impulse is for creating that particular work. I think more relative to your question is acknowledging that difference. So acknowledging the weight of whether this is an everyday environment for someone or whether it's an environment that they're unlikely to hear in person. Each of those things have a weight for a listener. And it's my job to kind of recognize the weight and then basically sculpt around it. So in a piece that maybe is based around sounds from the Arctic, then yes, there is a kind of expectation or a weight or a wonder that plays in how people listen. Whereas if it's a Berlin cityscape or a New York cityscape, a certain amount of that wonder isn't necessarily part of the creative exchange that's going to happen. So I don't build it in.
Like Aina Brennan, Karen has focused on developing her own artistic direction and fostering her creativity as a composer.
So I used to work full time, and around when I was finishing my PhD, I made the decision that I would leave and throw myself at the mercy of all of this fun and games and become a freelance composer. And I gave myself 3 years. And at that point, I kind of thought, okay, well, look, if you're going to walk away from full-time employment and if you're going to take that leap, then you better make sure that you know why you're taking it. And so in some ways, it really helped crystallize what I was trying to do and actually made me a bit bolder to sort of say, you know, no, actually, I want to work this way. And this is the way that what I need to say can reach. And in order to do that, I ended up having to create a new type of score and a new way of communicating musical ideas, which has now become a core element of the way I work.
That's Karen Power's Instruments of Ice for Ensemble Arctic Ice and Photographs, performed by Quiet Music Ensemble, commissioned by the DAAD in Germany, in a remixed extract from a live personal recording of the work when it received its Irish premiere at New Music Dublin in 2017. Before that, we heard Rupture by Aina Brennan from Irish National Opera's 20 Shots of Opera with singers Rachel Good and Sarah Richmond, and the RTE Concert Orchestra conducted by Elaine Kelly. And we also listened to part of Una Monaghan's Piece by Piece, a work commissioned by Improvised Music Company. Thank you for listening to this episode of How the World Begins Again. Over the course of this series, we have met 20 composers and sound artists. In the last one, Evolutions, I'm joined by many of these voices again, exploring ideas about our perception of what it means to be a composer today, and hearing their hopes for the future.